I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Lauren Schwartz. Lauren's a financial advisor and the current chair of the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce. She outlines her experience rising through the ranks in a male-dominated industry and describes how that made her a champion for diversity. But first, it's the Small Business Spotlight, presented by American Bank. Supreme is an international streetwear brand that started as a skate company in New York City in the early 90s. Designers soon began pasting their iconic logo, literally just the word Supreme in a stylized font, on the sides of fire extinguishers, director's chairs, even bricks, and producing the goods in limited quantities. As an example of the effect, a hard luggage trunk from Louis Vuitton might sell for $30,000. In a collaboration, the same bag with the Supreme box logo sold out immediately at a price tag of $75,000. And today, it's listed on the secondary market for $130,000.
Here at Way Limited, we sell brands like Supreme, Palace, Off-White, Antisocial, Bape, and we have a little bit of vintage items.
In January, Deorian Thornton and his partners opened a fashion hub on Austin Avenue catering to the rabid consumers of streetwear.
So you may spend about $80 to $120 on a Supreme t-shirt. On a Supreme hoodie, you'll spend maybe from $250 to $300. And you have like specific Supreme items like the box logo, which is almost like $500 to $700, you know. And then you have the hoodie, which is almost like $1,000.
Deorian started reselling streetwear while a high school student at Connolly. And that continued throughout his football playing career at UMHB.
You know how some kids will take the wrong route and start selling drugs and stuff like that. They'll start buying clothes and reselling it and making money that way. So it's honestly a good thing for the culture, and it may not be good for the parents' pockets, but you know, it's a good thing. I think it's really good.
Now at age 22 and always dressed to impress, he helps others on their fashion journeys. His clout built in a major way when he connected with a handful of Baylor athletes, including professional basketball players Taurean Prince and Royce O'Neal.
I got to the point where I was traveling to New York to, you know, help them pick out their outfits and sell them Supreme. And it got to the point where I was like, man, I need to really link up with the person that I'm buying the clothes from, which is Brady, which is the second business owner.
Deorian and Brady Gilstrap opened a store in Beverly Hills called Culture Threads, but a break-in and robbery left them in a financial hole with a lot of digging to do. They collaborated with the downtown co-working space Waco Work on a series of pop-up shops, and later partnered with Max Lowborough, one of their suppliers of Off-White. Together, the three young men pooled their inventories, rebranded as Way Limited, and signed a lease at 1621 Austin Avenue.
Ever since then, we've been doing good. So It was a journey to really talk about.
Inside Way Limited, hundreds of t-shirts are displayed on hangers. Traditional price tags are removed in favor of vintage basketball cards with a hefty number printed on top of the stats of Mark Price or Muggsy Bogues. They also sell vintage tees, shoes, hats, backpacks, and skateboard decks from various brands, whatever the streetwear culture dictates.
It's a vibe, and it's definitely a type of outfit to where you just throw something on, but it still looks and feels good.
Way Limited uses a sophisticated system of bots to monitor when their brands will drop new merchandise. But because many companies put caps on how much an individual can buy, Deorian is always looking to partner with enterprising entrepreneurs like himself.
We want people in Waco to start buying hype items, and you know, even if they just want to make like $50 off of it, you can make $50, bring it to the store, we'll buy it off you and resell it. And you make $50 and we get the product.
The streetwear culture in Waco is young, and Deorian and Way Limited feel like they're the ones to cultivate it. Connections with athletes, consistency in the store, and commitment to finding the freshest items all help to build clout. An evasive but necessary component for online credibility.
You just have to take that risk and just hope that you get people in store to buy it. Just hope that you can get that crowd that you want. We didn't really know if Waco would adapt to it and how they would, you know, spend their money with us. But, I mean, they've done pretty good so far. So
the Small Business Spotlight is presented by American Bank, with three locations in town, including an expanded branch downtown at Franklin and 4th. I'm now joined in studio for the monthly segment, The Chef's Corner, where Corey McIntyre, the executive chef at Milo, swings by and tells us what's fresh and seasonal in Central Texas. Corey, what is the fruit or vegetable that you've encountered that's really got your eye right now?
Well, being a Georgia boy, peaches coming in season is the all-time best part of my life. And so I'm super happy, always smiling, eyes wide open, super excited about peach season and squash blossoms, honestly.
Where locally do you get peaches and squashes if you wanted to cook them at home?
Fredericksburg peaches are right now in season. And so over the next couple months, it's going to just start moving north. And so we'll start getting some peaches from Mejia, and then we'll get some peaches from North Dallas, and we'll get some peaches from the Panhandle. Right now at the farmer's market, you can pick up all the peaches you want at Lightsea.
Have you seen that Georgia peach truck is coming to Waco?
Yeah, I was actually in Nashville when they first opened, and we use their peaches a lot, and those actually are really good peaches. I think they're going to be here June 6th or 7th, is that right?
Yeah, I've been served Instagram ads multiple times from them, so I know it's definitely coming up shortly. So.
And their peaches really are good, and they're Georgia peaches. So
keep a look for the peach truck that's coming to Waco. You'll be utilizing some of these squash blossoms and peaches in the tiki menu that you're doing tonight at Milo.
Yeah, so we're going to take the squash blossoms from Lahan Springs Farm that Jerry makes me go out there and pick myself. And we split them open just really slightly and stuff them with some cream cheese and a little crab. And then super light potato starch and vodka and beer batter, a little light tempura. And then we are serving it with our special sauce and a red pepper emulsion. And some togarashi.
One of my favorite things that I've seen you doing in the last month is on the Milo social media, doing an AMA, Ask Me Anything. It's a typical Reddit thread.
Yeah.
And people who follow you guys can ask questions, cooking questions, live questions about how to increase their productivity in the kitchen. You get flooded with these questions, and you can't answer all of them online. So I wanted to pitch you a couple questions and see if you have some answers for our
listeners.
So one question that came through: what is the best way for a college kid to impress their date on a budget?
So one of my absolute favorite recipes to make, and it's a Thomas Keller recipe, is a simple roasted chicken. And he just walks you through every single piece of it and why you want to place the chicken in the pan this way, cover it with butter this way, season it this way, and then it really helps you feel like you're really doing something unique. And I think that and Chef Keller has always been incredible at that, you know, taking something very mundane and making it into something extraordinary. And a simple roasted chicken with just the right amount of salt, the right amount of herbs is one of the greatest things you'll ever have.
And picking up a whole chicken at the store and getting herbs,
costs
that's
you
$5. Yeah, I mean, that should be very doable for anyone on a budget. Another one, if someone wants to punch up the flavor of their dish, what are the basic components of making something taste good?
Yeah, so there's a book called Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, and all four of those things are kind of what you want to always keep in mind with. You know, whenever you taste something and it tastes flat, I think the inclination is to add more salt. But sometimes it really needs a punch of acid or needs a punch of heat. And so learning how to balance those in different dishes, you know, that's what in a lot of ways have defined the different regional cuisines we have from all over the world, is how each of those cuisines really balances those four things. And so next time, whenever you're making a sauce, taste it and then separate out just a little bit of it. Add a little drop of lemon juice and a little salt into each one that you've separated. Taste which one you like the most and then go with the acid or go with the salt.
Tips from Chef Corey McIntyre here on The Chef's Corner. Find him tonight at Milo for Tiki Night. Thank you so much for stopping by the studio.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
I'm now joined in the studio by Lauren Schwartz. Lauren is a financial advisor in town and the chair of the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Austin.
Please tell our listeners about your Waco history. How'd you end up here?
Okay, so my Waco history is I met a local Waco business owner who was helping a friend of his in sports as a friend, professional athlete named Vinny Johnson, played at MCC, then played at Baylor, and was having problems with his sports agent. And Martin, my husband, was helping him with his summer camp that was scheduled to be in Waco. I happened to be working for a sports marketing firm in Houston. We had a mutual friend, and he said, oh, I know a lady in sports. She might be able to help you get a sponsor for Vinny's camp. The Pistons was the team he was playing for at the time. They had just won a championship.
This is the Bad Boys Pistons.
Yes, yes. And Vinny had made the last shot. And there's a picture in Sports Illustrated of him just about to come in. There's 0.07 seconds on the clock, and he's holding a Gatorade cup. And so Gatorade was one of my clients. So I'm like, yeah, I so can get a sponsor for your camp. And that's how Martin and I met, is he was helping a friend. And I said, you know, I probably can't get you money, but I can get you all the product, T-shirts, promotional items, squeeze bottles that you want. So that's how I met Martin. And he is a business owner in Waco and deep roots in the community, and he wasn't leaving Waco. And so if I was going to marry Martin, ultimately our relationship progressed, I was going to move to Waco, Texas.
What was it that had drawn you to sports initially? Were you an athlete growing up?
You know, I wasn't. My parents are athletic. My dad played AAA baseball, was drafted by the Brooklyn Dodgers, and my mom was a great athlete, kind of cutting edge, original runner with Ken Cooper from the Cooper Clinic in Dallas.
Of course.
That was her guru. My sister and brother were very talented athletes. Brother lettered in five sports in high school. My sister was a nationally ranked tennis player. And I was sort of the cheerleader. I was the fan. And that attracted me to the sports industry. In college, I worked for the University of Alabama while I was a student doing promotions and marketing in their athletic department as a student assistant. So I graduated and went into sports.
When Martin and you first started talking and he told you he lived in Waco, what were your impressions of Waco at the time?
So I didn't even know where Waco was. My assistant at that time said, oh, you go to, the little Calvert Hearn, whatever, and take a left turn. So I did that. And my first trip to Waco, and she was 100% correct, and actually it was a right turn. Go out 290 until it ends and take a right, and you'll wind up in Waco eventually on Highway 6. And it was true. And I had no idea what Waco was. And when I came here 29 years ago and was dating Martin, it was nothing like what it has become today.
What were you thinking that you would do professionally in Waco?
So I have a master's of business with a concentration in finance. And so I thought, okay, I need to go into financial services or something related to the financial industry. And I took a little dip while I was in Houston with an investment banking company. It was small, and I got to do a lot of different things. So I thought, well, maybe there's investment banking in Waco. Well, there's not. There was commercial banking and retail banking, but no investment banking. And there was a company that did distressed assets, and they weren't going to hire a female because most of their people were on the road all the time, and they were all male. And they're like, oh, little lady, you would not like what we do. And I'm like, well, I've done due diligence, but anyway, the only opportunity that was really available to me was in the insurance industry. My husband had a friend who owned an insurance company, and he said, we'll interview her. And I wound up taking a position with them with the Northwestern Mutual. So I'm no longer with Northwestern Mutual, but wonderful company, and I did that for 15 years, my first 15 years in Waco. And then I got more onto the financial services with a large publicly traded company and do wealth management and small business, retirement plans, college plans. You know, I work with all different types of people who have wealth that they need managed and want help.
And within your company, which is international, you are one of the only, or were one of the first women to run your own office, is that correct?
Yes, it was. So when I came to Waco and started up the Northwestern Mutual here, I don't think there were five women in financial services, maybe less. So it was kind of a cutting edge opportunity for me, but I felt like Waco was open-minded enough to at least give me an audience, and most of that was due to my husband's relationships in this community. Can't take credit for that on my own. Just an opportunity to get in the door.
There was a really sharp girl who was involved in Leadership Waco with me this last year named Nikki Herring, who is with New York Life. And I know for her in particular, when you came and spoke to our Leadership Waco group, she saw herself on stage, you know, someone who had to jump through hoops that I wouldn't have needed to as a male. What do you think that your impact has been in this role?
I would say that 29 years ago when I came to Waco, not a lot of women had the opportunity to have the education that I'd had, an undergraduate degree, a degree in finance, worked in financial services, worked in sports. So I had a little bit of a different background, and doors were beginning to open and the ceiling was beginning to be penetrated. So as much as anything, being a leader, taking on roles in leadership that I was comfortable with, I did. And, you know, I had lots of friends that were stay-at-home moms, and they did it beautifully, and that was their calling. That was not my calling. And I have two children who I adore, but I was fortunate to have help, and I did have a lot of it so that I could go to work every day and also do volunteer work in the community.
Brag on yourself for a second. I know that's hard for you, but when you think about the success that you've had in this position, to what do you attribute the reputation that you have, the productivity that you have? Like, what are you good at that has qualified you to be an excellent financial provider?
I think I have a lot of energy. I am hard to make me real tired. I don't sleep well, so maybe that's, in some ways it's a negative, but in other ways I don't require a ton of sleep. I love to exercise, so I stay fairly fit. I think that's helpful, but also knowing who I am and the type of family I was from, integrity and your word was everything. And so I bring that to my career and to my volunteer work. If I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. No matter when I get it done, I'm going to get it done.
It's interesting that you just brought up the words energy and integrity, because when I think about doing business with someone, or I think about myself and the reputation I'm trying to cultivate, the three things for me: energy, integrity, intelligence. And you can have the energy part and the integrity part, but if you're not smart enough, you just can't do the job. Or you can have the energy and the intelligence part, but even the integrity, you're going downhill fast. And it really needs to be a combination of all three of those things to be making impactful business decisions and to not be burning bridges along the way. Even if you are making money, if you look around and no one's following you, what's the point?
In the financial services industry, if you become a certified financial planner, it requires 400 hours of education. So that's part of it. And continuing education every year. That's in addition to everything your own company requires from a compliance standpoint. So with me, with a large publicly traded company, our compliance is unreal. Frustrating at times. I sometimes call it the business prevention unit, because there's so much bureaucratic red tape that I have to jump through to do anything. I often feel like I take four steps backwards before I can take five steps forward. But in that, I know it's being done the right way. So if I get mowed over by a bus tomorrow, my company can pick up the pieces where I left off and continue to serve in the role that I was hired to serve in.
You're hearing from Lauren Schwartz. She is a wealth manager in Waco and also the chair of the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce, another area in which you as a woman were really a pioneer.
Well, when I first came to Waco, one of the business organizations I was encouraged to get involved with was the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce. So David Lacey, owner of Community Bank and Trust, very good friend of my husband, he was very involved in the chamber, and he wanted me to get involved. And there were others as well. And so I did, and I loved it. The membership has done nothing but grown. We're 1,400 members strong, and we're Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce, not just Waco. And we have partnerships and alliances with other chambers in our McLennan County area. So it became a natural business-to-business opportunity and to be viewed in a business light because I had done other volunteer work. I was in the Junior League of Waco. I was involved with the Cameron Park Zoo, and those are phenomenal organizations, but they weren't business-to-business, and the Chamber of Commerce gave me that opportunity.
What is important about the Chamber's work for someone who maybe isn't even a small business owner themselves, but why should a person who just happens to live in Waco care about what the Chamber does and attend events like the Food Truck Showdown or a lot of the other programming that they put on?
So the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce has a mission to make Waco a better place to live and work. So that is so broad-based and far-reaching that for anyone here, I feel like if you're in business and you want to see Waco successful and you want customers to walk in your door or call you on the phone or text you or email you or whatever digital media is being used, if you're not a member of the Waco Chamber of Commerce, which is who does economic development in our community, I almost feel like you shouldn't be in business. We are working every single day with a complete staff to make businesses better here, attract new ones, assist existing ones in their expansion, and it works. And it's a tremendous financial partnership between the City of Waco, the county, Baylor University, MCC, TSTC, and they have all financially partnered with us, but at the end of the day, our economic development team is scouring this country and internationally to look for new opportunities for Waco and for those who are already here, making sure they're happy, and we're doing everything we can do as a city, community, county to continue to keep them here.
Can you give us any nuggets of interesting conversations that are happening with companies coming here, or maybe a few highlights of recent acquisitions?
The most recent that comes to mind to me is the Caterpillar purchase by one of their franchisees, Holtcat. So unfortunately, Caterpillar's manufacturing facility, large warehouse, was shut down in Waco. Oh no, that's terrible. We thought, oh my goodness. But it opened up some warehouse space, and we're kind of wondering, why aren't they marketing this? Why aren't they putting it on the market? And, you know, companies don't tell their secrets. Well, the reasons they did not tell us is they had marketed it internally to their franchisees. And Peter Holt and Karina Holt, who are based in San Antonio, big names, they own Holtcat, and they bought it. So they will not only have their facility, which is on Leap 340, they will also now own that facility, and they may be leasing it. Again, that's not information I'm privileged to, but that's an example of an expansion of an existing business. And Coca-Cola's recently done the same thing, and there's many more on the horizon.
So what is the pitch to these businesses for why they should come in Waco?
So quality of life is probably one of our biggest assets. In addition, we are on I-35, for better or worse at times. That is the heartbeat of the transportation system over the road. We have good rail. We have excellent water source. Those make Waco a very attractive place. And Texas, as a state, is attractive. Our tax structure, we're pro-business. So when people look, okay, Texas is good, and then they look and they say, Central Texas, right in the middle. What is there to do there? What would our employees feel like in that type of community? 25 years ago, we can't boast the attractions we have now. But now we have a lot to talk about and so many good things.
When you think about Waco maybe 25 years from now, what are some ways in which you think that the city needs to evolve or things that you'd like to see?
So, you know, I can say this as a female. I have seen progress, but not nearly enough. So diversity and inclusion, which at this point is a goal, needs to become a reality. So business owners who don't look like you or don't look like me but are international, multiracial, of different color, ages, demographics. That will change over the next 25 years, and I think that will benefit all of us.
And I know that it was just last week that Mayor Kyle Deaver had led a retreat for the city council to discuss equity and really what that means to be pulling everyone.
Yes, and those are important sessions and important information for us to move forward as a community and attract more businesses internationally. We have to be that.
So is the idea behind pushing diversity, is that something that is morally good? Is that something that is economically better? What's the thought process behind presenting a workforce and business owners that all look different from each other?
I think it is both. I think it is the right thing to do. I don't think anyone should feel like, oh, I can't be in business in Waco. I can't own a business in Waco because I'm not this or that. That has to go away to make us an attraction for the next generation who has been educated all over the country and all over the world to believe that they can do anything they want to do. But if they can't do it in Waco, Texas, then we're in trouble.
What is the thing that has you most excited about living in Waco right now?
There's
so much going on. This Magnolia Network is on the horizon. We have summer, which means there's a ton of fun activities to do in Central Texas. Just for you personally with your lifestyle, what are you looking forward to about being in the city?
What I love is I can always find something to do and someone to be with. So I think one of the most unique aspects of Waco is the friendships you make. It's not an anonymous community. So if you want to be anonymous, this is probably not the best place for you to be. But if you want to make close friendships quickly, then Waco is. So one of the things I love is having people come to my home and eat dinner or go to their homes and eat dinner. There's supper clubs. It's, you know, even though we're moving forward, we're still a little 1950s in we like new people. We embrace it. I mean, I've had one of my newest clients and friends moved here from Houston, and they were Baylor grads, and they decided they wanted to sort of retire here. And I mean, they continue to comment on how friendly the Waco community has been. So that's what I look forward to. I love that we have a farmer's market. I love our zoo. I love that we have Magnolia and we have the silos and the things that they bring into our community. And riverfront development, it's coming and it's going to be exciting.
It's very different from 29 years ago, and all of us are better for you deciding to have stayed here for the last 29 years, and we hope for a very long time in the future. Lauren Schwartz is the chair of the Greater Waco Chamber and a financial advisor in town. Thank you so much for joining me on Downtown Depot.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Austin.
Thanks again to Lauren Schwartz, Deorian Thornton of Way Limited, Corey McIntyre of Milo, and you for tuning in. I'll be back on KWBU with another episode on June 21st, but if you want to stay informed in between shows, follow me on social media at Waco Business News. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.